So I don't know whether all of you know as much as I do how blessed we are to have Chris as a pastor. Okay. I mean, he's amazing. You know, he and his family right now are off to Hawaii, and they're having hopefully a good time. What I would like to do is count to three, and then everybody could say aloha. One, two, three. Aloha! Chris, I hope you got that. So we love you, Chris. You know, and I think you guys are entitled to a special time of your own. And I really hope you're enjoying it. We do. We love you. One of the things that makes him unique is he's willing to turn over his pulpit to a yo-yo like me. And you know, you never know. I've said before, as I've gone up here, it's really kind of a confession. You never know what I'm going to do. this time he mentioned to us elders last year that, you know, we should have prepared a sermon just in case. Okay, so I went and did that, and I worked on something that the Lord told me to work on. Okay, and he every step of the way he kept reinforcing it, you know. So I had no excuse. I couldn't say, well, no, maybe I should do something else. Okay. And then last week, Kelly took most of it. So even after we'd talked about it. So this week, the enemy used a person that I know and love to try to change my mind, okay, about what I should do. And I listened, and I thought about it, and I thought, holy mackerel, I've only got like 4 days left to. So I went back to some of the papers that I'd written during when I was going to Bible college. And, you know, I found one that is really good. One of the things about Chris is he tries to keep his sermons personal, right? It's about you, and it's about Jesus. It's about you and your relationship with Jesus and how to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, okay? He doesn't get into theology very much. And that's a subject I really like. So with the admonition that I shouldn't preach on what I thought I was going to preach on, this is what I came up with. Oops. So Philip, for those of you to whom this is new, Philip Melanchthon was a contemporary of Martin Luther, and he was really the first Protestant who came up with a systematic theology. So, what better than to talk about his peaceful solution to the conflict that the Protestants and the Catholics were having over the doctrine of the Virgin Mary? Okay, Irenicism. Irene is Greek for peace. So if your name is Irene, peace out. And so it's an apologia because, you know, I'm trying to explain it. All right. So, ha ha, gotcha. Yeah. So that was the giveaway. See the date. All right. So like I said, you never know what I'm going to do. We're going to look at the gospel. and so it's the gospel according to Steve. We've actually, over the last year or so, heard that this church doesn't teach the gospel. Yes. There are rumors out there that this church doesn't teach the gospel. So after today, y'all can say, nuh-uh. if you encounter that. And so, the gospel, what is the gospel? The gospel My helpmeet is telling me you should pray. So, Lord, I come before you humbly, Lord, because I've already busted past you once. And I ask, Father, that you would just inhabit these words, Lord, and that they would be to build up your people here in this congregation and anybody out there who's listening. Lord, the stuff that is me, Lord, allow them to discard and just not remember. But the stuff that's you, Lord, please help it stick to them like sticky stuff. Lord, and I pray, Father, that you would help me not to go long. In Jesus' name. So the gospel, according to this Charles Hodge guy, is so simple that a small child can understand it, but yet it's so profound that studies by the wisest theologians will never exhaust its riches. Okay, and Charles Hodge was a Calvinist, so he had a lot more to study than most of us do. So what does it mean? The classic explanation there is it means the good news, and that's from the Old English, and it means good speech. So but we might think of it more like, congratulations, you've won the lottery. Okay, it's that kind of, it's meant to evoke that kind of response in you. Really? Okay, it's such good news because God saves you from death and hell when you believe it. And then the last part is something often that we forget, and some people do forget. It's free. Okay, well, that's me. It's simple, but, all right? A couple of years ago, we elders ran aground, okay? We were trying to come up with a simple statement of our church's fundamental beliefs, and we had one that we were trying to decide on. The problem was it used the term gospel 14 times. 14. In this paragraph that was going to help us define our goals. And so we said, okay, so what is the gospel? And so I started a little bit of an odyssey through Scripture, okay? And when you came in, you picked up a couple of papers. And the Scriptures that are there on those papers kind of go in order, but I've modified the presentation a few times, so some of them will be out of order. But it's my attempt to help you verify, be Berean, you know, in other words, be Berean about the stuff that I'm telling you, okay? Because it took me about 2 months to do this study to figure out what this gospel that's so simple is. Okay, that's probably because I'm dense. So what is this good news? God the Father loves you so much that he placed upon his Son the punishment for your sins. His Son loves you so much that he voluntarily took on that punishment so that you didn't have to. Because of Jesus' personal sacrifice, you are saved from an eternity of suffering and can look forward to an eternity of joy. Jesus paid your spiritual debt for your sins. But we're not done yet. More good news. You don't have to... What do I have to do? You don't have to do anything, okay? No action of yours, nothing you can do, nothing you can say, nothing you can think can be effective toward your salvation. It's free. You simply decide and believe in Jesus and his promise, and God does the rest. Those two words, believe in, are important. Okay, it's what John 3:16 says, those who believe in him shall never perish but have everlasting life. It's contrasted to the idea of having knowledge of. Okay? So when James says, yeah, you said right, you believe, even the demons believe, okay? Well, they have knowledge of, but they don't believe in him. They choose to go their own way. What you're doing is choosing to believe in Jesus and following his way. Okay? So, but it's free to any who believe in Jesus and his promises. You can't buy it or earn it. Just choose it and believe in it. Okay? So keep tracking those verses, okay? Because it's important. You might ask, don't I have to repent first? Well, there's an idea. The idea of repentance, true repentance, is to turn. Okay, that's what the root words mean. Okay, so you can repent of something without actually turning. You can change your mind about something without actually turning and doing something different. So the idea that we have to repent first and then do something like sacrifice comes from the old system of beliefs that the Jews were under before Jesus set that whole system aside. Okay, so under the old system, God would ignore their sins for a year if they repented, said, Lord, these are my sins, please forgive them, please cover them, okay, and then they would sacrifice something. Nowadays, they don't sacrifice anything, the Jews don't. They believe that if they do enough good works, it overrides the bad works. But I can't see how that would be possible, at least for me, because, I'm so bad so much of the time that I can't do enough good to balance that out. I have to rely on Jesus. So there was also a concept of payment for sins that you weren't aware of, okay? Like, my favorite example of this is when I first met my brother-in-law, Bharat. Bharat is a Jain. He's my sister's husband who's Indian, and he comes from a place in India called Kolhapur. And one day we were supposed to take my dad's little yellow Toyota pickup truck and go down to the hardware store and get something. So we went out into the driveway, Bharat and me, and Bharat, I got in the truck, and Bharat went around the truck like this, looking at the ground. And he got in the truck, and I said, Bharat, what were you doing? He says, well, there was a possibility that there may be life on the ground, and by pulling out of the driveway, I might roll over the life and extinguish the life. And I said, okay. So we pulled out, and we pulled onto the main road. We went about 150 yards, and all of a sudden, splat on the windshield. Okay. So I said, so tell me, Bharat, what's that about? He says, well, if I had rolled over something where I could have avoided it, it was my karma. He says, that was Bug's karma. So in my family for a number of years, we had this expression, Bug's karma. Oh, Bug's karma, man. But the idea is that, you're always going to do something that you don't know, all right? You can't sacrifice once a year and or go, recount all your sins that you're aware of at Yom Kippur and expect to have the record set straight. It doesn't work that way. You're just not that good, and if you're like me, your memory's not good enough. So, like I just mentioned, those attitudes carry over into the Jain religion. They carry over into the Buddhists and the rest of the Hindus and all these families of human religions. you're balancing good works and bad works, and you know the kind of penalty that you pay ends up being, you know, specific to the religion. But Jesus ended all of that. Okay, through his sacrifice. He died once for all of us, for the sins of the whole world, all time, once. Good news, right? So don't those repent and confess verses mean I have to do something? Well, no, because we're mistaking the intent. Judas repented, regretted, confessed that he had done wrong, went, gave the money back to the Pharisees, and then went out and hung himself. Okay? Didn't work out for him. Okay? Without believing in Jesus, regret and repentance are not the same thing. You actually make the decision to turn, the one that sticks. Okay? I made a decision 6 months ago to start to learn Spanish. Okay? I didn't do anything about it. Okay? I didn't turn. You know, so 2 weeks ago, I actually made the decision, aprendo español. And I went and got a membership in Babbel. Okay, so I turned and did something about it, right? But it's not my action that saves me, okay? It's the decision. A decision is not work. It was no work when I decided to learn Spanish 6 months ago, okay? My decision to learn Spanish this time resulted in works, okay? So you're making a decision to believe in Jesus, and that occurs first. Once you do that, then God sends his Holy Spirit, fills your heart, and does the rest in you, for you, to you. Okay? Once we believe in Jesus, true repentance and confession are something that the Lord initiates in you. It's not you doing it. It's God's desire as he fills your heart and souls. What do you mean God does the rest? He wipes out. You have a blood debt, okay, to him. We sin, and in the Bible it says that sin requires blood. Requires blood to be spilled. Okay? You owe him a blood debt for your sins and transgressions. Okay, a sin is something where you strive to do something and you fail. You miss the mark. Okay, a transgression is where you know what's right and you do something else. Okay? So a sin and iniquity is when your life consists of transgression after transgression. So when you have this idea, okay, he sends his Holy Spirit who comes and dwells in you. And by the way, the same Holy Spirit is the one who's been whispering in your ear, you know, you really ought to give this Jesus guy a chance. He's working on you from the day you're born, okay, to set up the events and the conditions and everything that will come to you, making that decision, the real decision, the decision that's going to result in you turning, actually, your life turning from the way it was going to following Jesus. One of the things that he does then, after he comes to live in you, is he dwells within you, and the Bible says you're sealed. Okay? This idea of being sealed is kind of how you know. Okay? Before I was a sinner, now I believe, really believe in Jesus. and I believe his promises to me. The Holy Spirit works that in your heart, okay? And he makes promises. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nobody, not even you, can change what Jesus did for you. Okay? Repeat that one, like Chris does. Nobody, not even you, can change what Jesus did for you. He structured your life to come to this point where you decide. Okay? If I decide to, okay, yeah, well, I was just kidding. All right? there's a branch of doctrine that argues, you know, okay, then you weren't really saved in the first place. All right? But there's another branch that says, doesn't matter. You prayed earnestly for Jesus to come into your heart. You believed in him at that point, and he won't let you go. The Bible says he won't let you go. So you can squirm, you can wiggle, you can turn around, you can go the wrong way, and it breaks God's heart. Your disobedience breaks God's heart, but you're still saved. So you receive forgiveness and spiritual gifts, faith in the form of assurance that you are saved. Okay? You're his. And there's another branch of doctrine's important, okay, but it's not everything, because doctrines are kind of human. Okay, it's what humans think about what God says, as opposed to what God says. What God says is more important than what any commentator or human will say. So that bullet there that says every promise the Bible makes to believers is yours, okay? Now, I don't necessarily think that I'm going to inherit all the land between the Mediterranean Sea and the Euphrates, okay? So you gotta use common sense when you go to think about these things, right? But even though Jeremiah was talking to the post-exilic Jews in one of the captivities, when he says, I have a plans for you, plans for good and not for evil, plans to bring you a future and a hope, okay? I think we can grab onto that one, okay? Because he's talking to his people, and once you believe, you're his people. The Holy Spirit does his work from the inside out, and it's kind of for some of us, it's a slower process than for others. So once I'm saved, can I relax regarding your eternal future? Yes, you can. Kick back. Have a fruit drink on the veranda, all right? You're his. You are saved, okay? Here on earth, God's going to work his program in your mind and heart. And that may have its ups and downs, okay? So the key is when I was learning to ski, okay, I was following a guy who was much better skier than I was, and he says, don't you ski, watch me and ski like I do. Okay, Paul said that, you know, he says, watch other believers, the people who are farther along in their walk, and imitate them. But God will give you the direction, you know, if you're watching them and they take a wrong turn, don't follow them necessarily, but he will be there and he will help you keep your tips straight and, you know, in the fall line, I guess, I don't know, but he'll guide you and you'll experience peace even you can't understand if he is, if you're in the center of his will. So he'll teach and train you. Again, more verses, okay? All these verses are there, and they're yours. Okay? He builds in you a desire to will and to do his good pleasure. That's one of my favorites, okay? The book of Philippians has two wonderful, wonderful verses in it. And that's, he will build in you a desire to will and to do what he wants you to do. And it's good because he's responsible. All I have to do is listen, and he'll make me want to follow him. And when I follow him, there's pleasure, okay, in doing what's right. It'll become hard to hold on to your old ways, and I really mean it, okay? And it can be both, that can be both positive and it can be negative, okay? Because if you slip back into your old ways, okay, I've had him come behind me, grab me by the neck, and noogie, 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 noogie. Okay? I mean, it hurts. So, metaphorically. why do I need us? Don't all roads lead to God? No, they don't. He tells us Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Without Jesus, when we die, I'll let you read that because it's not common for us to preach about hell from this pulpit. So simply believe in Jesus and his promises and go to heaven, spend eternity with the Lord. Simply believe. He does the rest. It's that easy. Good news. Does that mean after being saved, life gets easier? Like I said, not necessarily. We live in a fallen world and in a body of flesh, and all those things are with us. Even Paul, you know, Lord, what do I do? What I want to do, I don't do. What I do is not good. You know, what can I? Who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? Jesus. Okay. We can rely on God to see us through the troubles that come. Another verse. Okay. As we grow in God's grace and knowledge through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can bank on his promises that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And when you believe in him, you are the called. It confirms it. He says that you were the called in his mind before the foundation of the earth, since way back, all right, before the Flintstones. You were in his mind as being called. But now you have chosen to follow him. He knew it from the beginning, but you've done it, and now it's confirmed. Okay? So you can claim that promise. And that's good news. More good news. So that kind of sets us up for Paul's great deposition. Two places to go in the Bible for a good overview of what the gospel is. This is a place. John 3:16 is a place. This one is something that a lot of preachers and theologians and people who preach the gospel will go often. It's in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. But I submit to you that it's not the gospel per se. It's really like a legal deposition. This is Paul testifying about the truth of the gospel. Okay? He says, I declare to you the gospel, which is what he's been doing in Corinth the whole time, declaring the gospel and coming against other people's doctrines. He said, the gospel is the most important. You need to stand in it. Okay? You need to believe in Jesus and his promises. Okay? and by that you are saved. Christ died for your sins according to the scripture. This is the deposition part. The according to the scripture is legal language. Okay, it's like according to the testimonies that are recorded in scripture. This is what Christ did for you. He died for your sins and he rose again according to the scriptures. Again, it's reference to it. It's not description of it. And he was seen by all these guys. Okay. So you can believe it. So here we are. I can finally, in two or three slides, because you can't read that fine print from I couldn't read that fine print from where you are, declare to you the gospel. Like our Constitution has a preamble, okay, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, to provide for, to achieve domestic tranquility, provide for the common good and the and common defense and all that stuff, right? It tells you why this document is needed, why this thing is needed. So from a preamble standpoint, the gospel has a preamble. We're eternal beings. Death is only a transition. But we all sin and fall short, and in God's sight, our pride alone makes us guilty. Okay? Our guilt before God mandates an eternity of separation from him. Now the good news. But God loves us so much that he made a way for us to have life with him. He sent his son Jesus and took upon himself the penalty for our sins. The salvation is a free gift to us from God. God owes us nothing. We can't do anything to earn it. No pressure, no prerequisites, no work, no power or effort. Just accept it. To have everlasting life with God, we only need to choose to believe in what God has said about Jesus in the Bible. God's Holy Spirit confirms this in our hearts and does the rest. More to it. It's a bona fide offer. Okay? God backs it up with evidence. You don't have to, you know, it has credentials. His Holy Spirit within you. The predictions of 4,000 years of prophecy as they're stated in the Old and the New Testaments. Personal testimonies of the apostles and the witnesses that saw him come from the grave. And the resurrection is his proof positive that what he said is true. So you don't have to worry about the good news there. That's part of the good news. The good news there is that you don't have to be worried about what people think. Am I weak for believing this? Am I stupid for believing in this? Am I, you know, pick whatever, you know, fill in the blank. Pick whatever you want, what other people might say about you. You know, even if you were all those things, you'd still be saved. Okay, so now what? God strengthens you, helps your faith to grow. You can have confidence. You don't have to fear death. Rejoice in that God's promises are true and that they are for you. Know that Jesus loves you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now go and tell others that good news too. Okay? All they have to do is believe. God does the rest. It's free. You can count on it. Rejoice in the good news of your salvation. I think that's all. Good news. Give us that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It's good enough for me. It'll bring you out of bondage. It'll bring you out of bondage. It'll bring you out of bondage. It's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me. They told the gospel story. They told the gospel story. They told the gospel story. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Now what? So Father, thank you. And as I asked earlier, Lord, please, I thank you for answering my prayer not to go long, first of all. And I ask, Father, that you would please be with everybody who's here and everybody who's heard. Lord, those things that were just me, Lord, just have them disregard it, have them forget it right now. Lord, and those things that were of you, Lord, make them sticky, as Chris says. So thank you so much. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name.